Chapter 42. Paul suffers shipwreck in a storm. This chapter is based on Acts 27:28, 1-10, RSV. At last, Paul was on his way to Rome. They delivered Paul and some other prisoners to a centurion of the Augustan cohort named Julius. And, Luke writes, embarking in a ship of Adramyttium, we put to sea. In the first century, traveling by sea was perilous. Mariners directed their course largely by the sun and stars, and when there were indications of storm, the owners of vessels were fearful of the open sea. During a portion of the year, safe navigation was almost impossible. The apostle was now to endure the trying experiences of a prisoner in chains during the long voyage to Italy. From choice, Aristarchus shared Paul's bondage, that he might minister to him in his afflictions. See Colossians 4, verse 10. The voyage began prosperously. The following day, they cast anchor in the harbor of Sidon. Here, Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him leave to go to his Christian friends and be cared for. This was appreciated by the apostle, who was in feeble health. Leaving Sidon, the ship encountered contrary winds. At Myra, the centurion found a large Alexandrian ship bound for Italy, and to this he transferred his prisoners. But the winds were still contrary. Luke writes, "We sailed slowly for a number of days. Coasting along with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens. Here they remained for some time, waiting for favoring winds." Winter was approaching rapidly, and the voyage was already dangerous. The question now to be decided was whether to remain in Fair Havens or attempt to reach a more favorable place in which to winter. Paul's inspired advice rejected. This question was finally referred by the centurion to Paul, who had won the respect of sailors and soldiers. The apostle unhesitatingly advised remaining where they were. "I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives." But the owner of the ship and the majority of passengers and crew were unwilling to accept this counsel. They advised to put to sea from there, on the chance that somehow they could reach Phoenix and winter there. The centurion decided to follow the judgment of the majority. When the south wind blew gently, they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete, close inshore. But soon a tempestuous wind struck down from the land. The ship was caught and could not face the wind. Driven by the tempest, the vessel neared the small island of Clauda, and the sailors made ready for the worst. The lifeboat, their only means of escape, was in tow and liable to be dashed in pieces any moment. Their first work was to hoist this boat on board. All possible precautions were taken to prepare the ship to withstand the tempest. The scant protection afforded by the little island did not avail long, and soon they were again exposed to the full violence of the storm. All night the tempest raged. The vessel leaked. Night came again, but the wind did not abate. The storm-beaten ship, with shattered mast and rent sails, was tossed hither and thither. It seemed that the groaning timbers must give way as the vessel quivered under the tempest's shock. The leak increased rapidly, and passengers and crew worked continually at the pumps. Writes Luke, "When neither sun nor stars appeared for many a day, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned." For 14 days they drifted. The apostle, though himself suffering physically, had words of hope for the darkest hour, a helping hand in every emergency. He grasped by faith the arm of infinite power. He knew that God would preserve him to witness at Rome for the truth of Christ, but his heart yearned for the poor souls around him, sinful and unprepared to die. He earnestly pleaded with God to spare their lives, and his prayer was granted. Disaster to the ship. Taking advantage of a lull in the tempest, Paul stood on deck and said, "I now bid you take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night there stood by me an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and lo, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. But we shall have to run on some island.'" At these words, passengers and crew roused from their apathy. Every effort within their power must be put forth to avert destruction. On the 14th night of tossing on the heaving billows, about midnight, the sailors heard the sound of breakers. "And fearing," Luke writes, "that we might run on the rocks, they let out 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come." At break of day, the outlines of the stormy coast were dimly visible. But so gloomy was the outlook that the heathen sailors, losing all courage, were seeking to escape from the ship. Feigning to cast out anchors from the bow, they had let down the lifeboat, when Paul, perceiving their base design, said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved." The soldiers immediately cut away the ropes of the boat and let it go into the sea. The most critical hour was still before them. The apostle again spoke words of encouragement and entreated both sailors and passengers to eat something. "Today is the 14th day that you have continued in suspense and without food, having taken nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take some food. It will give you strength, since not a hair is to perish from the head of any of you." When he had said this, he took bread, and giving thanks to God in the presence of all, he broke it and began to eat. Then that worn and discouraged company of 275 souls, who but for Paul would have become desperate, joined the apostle in partaking of food. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, throwing out the wheat into the sea. Daylight had now come. They noticed a bay with a beach, on which they planned, if possible, to bring the ship ashore. So they cast off the anchors and left them in the sea, at the same time loosening the ropes that tied the rudders. Then, hoisting the foresail to the wind, they made for the beach. But striking a shoal, they ran the vessel aground. The bow stuck and remained immovable, and the stern was broken up by the surf. The prisoners about to be killed. The prisoners were now threatened by a fate more terrible than shipwreck. The soldiers saw that to reach land they would have all they could do to save themselves. Yet if any prisoners were missing, the lives of those responsible for them would be forfeited. Hence the soldiers desired to put all the prisoners to death. Roman law sanctioned this cruel policy. But Julius knew that Paul had been instrumental in saving the lives of all on board, and, convinced that the Lord was with him, he feared to do him harm. He therefore ordered those who could swim to throw themselves overboard first and make for the land, and the rest on planks or on pieces of the ship. And so it was that all escaped to land. When the roll was called, not one was missing. "The barbarous people of Melita kindled a fire," Luke writes, "and welcomed us all, because it had begun to rain and was cold. Having gathered a bundle of sticks, Paul put them on the fire, when a viper came forth because of the heat and fastened on his hand. Seeing by his chain that Paul was a prisoner, the bystanders said, 'No doubt this man is a murderer. Though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live.' But when they had waited a long time and saw no misfortune come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god." During the 3 months that they remained at Melita, Paul improved many opportunities to preach the gospel. The Lord wrought through him. For his sake, the entire shipwrecked company were treated with kindness. And on leaving Melita, they were provided with everything needful for their voyage. Luke says, "Publius, entertained us hospitably for 3 days. It happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery, and Paul visited him and prayed, and putting his hands on him, healed him. And when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured. They presented many gifts to us, and when we sailed, they put on board whatever we needed.